Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to RDS Who Is Two plenary call number 46 on January 14th, 2019 at 1500 UTC. And attending the call today is Susan, Dimitri, Carlton, and Alan. We have no observers. From ICANN.org, we have Jean-Baptiste, Jackie, and Brenda. Apologies from Chris. Today's call is being recorded. I'd like to remind you to please state your name before speaking. And, Alan, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. First of all, any statements of interest changes? And no hands, no voices. All right, the intent of this meeting is to try to go over a number of the changes that have been proposed and see if we can get agreement at the very least from the people on this call. And at the same time, I think we need to start to look at where we are. It's the 14th of January today. I have a all-day meeting, a meeting Wednesday through Friday on the EPDP, so I won't get a lot done past tomorrow. And we have had, unfortunately, very little input from a good number of the people on this group since the face-to-face. Catherine has done a fair amount of work, as has Lily, and I don't believe there's been a lot of other comments, though. Other than from Jackie and me, myself. So at this point, it's clear we are not going to make our January 31st deadline. We don't have a lot of slack after that because, among other things, those of us who are going to Kobe are leaving early in March. So we really don't have much time to get this done and submit it, preferably so that ICANN will have had some chance to look at it before we get to Kobe. So I'm not going to try to set a new date right now, but we really are going to have to put on the speed and get this done and get commitments from everyone to at least go over thoroughly their sections of the report. It's really mandatory that everyone at least look at the sections they led, if not other ones, at this point, and make sure that the document is consistent and that it's tight. We had a lot of duplication going into the initial report, the draft report, and some of that has been corrected, but much of it really requires the subject matter experts to work at it, and it's not something Jackie can do unilaterally. So open the floor to any comments or questions about how we do this, and then we'll start looking at some specific issues. And I see nothing. Jean-Baptiste, please go ahead.
Yes, Helen. So I'm a that there is an action item, but wanted to ask you what would be the deadline for all RBT members to have a look at their section and confirm that they are consistent.
Well, given that I'm going to be busy Wednesday or Tuesday through Friday, I feel comfortable in saying by the end of Friday they have to have gone through their section with a very fine-tooth comb, either made suggested changes in the word in the Google Doc, or at least add comments about what needs to be changed. Certainly, where content needs to be changed, it's got to be done by the subject matter experts. We can refine language afterwards, but that's all. And where there is repetition, again, it needs to be at least identified, if not corrected, by the subject matter experts. So I think the absolute deadline is the end of Friday. You know, the only exception for that is Stephanie's section. We can give her an extra day or so because of the EPDP. But I don't think we have any options but to set it that tight. All right. seeing no other hands, let's go on to the first part.
All right. Since Katrin is not yet on the call, shall we move directly to your data?
All right. Which is...
Oh, God.
Which page are we at? Oh, I didn't like the look of that.
Yeah, that's what I just saw.
It came out okay on my screen. When I looked, if I guess people are going to have to pull up the PDF that you sent out.
Yeah.
If it isn't displaying properly. There were a couple of things that weren't displaying properly even on the PDF, but they were relatively minor. All right. On the common interface, oh, excuse me. I'm going to let it go to voicemail. On the common interface, the recommendation for 11.2, Jackie felt it was sort of run on and a little bit confusing, and I read it and I had to agree. So I took a stab yesterday at rewriting the recommendation. I don't believe the intent has been changed. Hopefully the language is somewhat clearer. The original version said, including typos, the ICANN board should direct the ICANN org to continue to maintain the common interface, ignoring the or so I think that's to keep it up to date with new policy developments and contractual changes for contracted parties, to ensure that the common interface will display all publicly available RDS WHOIS output for each GTLD domain registration available from contracted parties, i.e. when they differ, both the registry and registrar WHOIS RDS WHOIS output should be shown in parallel. One sentence. What I am proposing is the ICANN board should direct the ICANN organization to ensure that the common interface displays all applicable output for each GTLD domain name registration as available from contracted parties, including multiple versions when the output from registry and registrar differ. The common interface should be updated to address any policy or contractual changes to maintain full functionality. And one could add on a timely manner, I guess. Comments on this one, please. Silence is presumed to be agreement. Erica says okay with her, and I see Erica is now on the call. Thank you, Erica. I hadn't noticed you were here.
And there is a hand raise from Susan.
Susan, please go ahead.
Thanks, Alan, and I apologize for being missing in action last week. The flu just... knocked me for a loop last week. So I get, you know, this has been in there since day one, I think, you know, the differentiation, the output from registry and registrar. But do they really show they're not pinging the registry. So,
no, that's not the case. For thick TLDs, they are only looking at the registry right now.
Oh, okay. I'm confused then. Okay. Then I don't have
the registry is deemed to be the authoritative source for thick registries.
Okay.
So as an example for alangreenberg.org, it shows everything redacted because PIR... .org redacts everything, whereas my registrar does not, but it doesn't show.
Interesting. Okay. I was not remembering that.
Yeah, that part hasn't changed I don't think that changed from the rewriting of the wording, but anyway.
No, I agree with that too. Yeah, I'm fine with the wording then.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments? Otherwise, we'll deem to be accepted by the five people on this call. All right, let's go on to the next item then.
All right, Ellen. So we'll share that version with other user members not attending the call, just to let them know and have their approval.
That's correct. Now,
yeah.
Since we're also doing some minor wording changes and some, we're probably going to have to, early next week, send out the full set of recommendations. But I agree. I think we should send this one out today saying it has been approved by the five people on this call. Does anyone else have a problem with it?
Mm-hmm.
And do we add in a timely manner or just leave it as is? I'm happy to leave it as is at this point. I don't see any comments. So, Carlton, there is a... When they registered... Carlton, you're suggesting that we say including multiple versions when the output from registry and registrar differs? I think with output, it should just be differ. We'll leave it to Jackie, the grammarian, to fix that if necessary.
So it means outputs.
Either it should be outputs and differs or output and differ, I think, but I'm happy to leave it to Jackie. Just let us know which way it goes, Jackie.
Computer.
Okay.
Sure.
You can check your reference books.
Okay.
Or make up an answer.
Sounds
all right. Jean-Baptiste, what is next? Okay, recommendation.
Next is the text you have implemented for the recommendation numbering.
Okay, you'll recall that there was a comment from the NCSG, I believe, saying the recommendation numbering in this report is confusing and we should have it relate to the recommendation numbers in the first WHOIS report. Now, we in fact did that. So, for instance, our recommendation R 5.2 relates to recommendation 5 in the original report, or 5 to 9 in this case. I tried to come up with a simple sentence to say that, and I'm not at all sure I succeeded. What I ended up saying is recommendation Rx.n are recommendations that follow up on recommendations X of the first WHOIS report. Recommendations LE, SG, CN, and BY are recommendations related to the new work done by the present review team under its investigation related to law enforcement safeguarding registrant data, contractual compliance, and the bylaws governing specific reviews. And I think we need the word respectively at the end of that. Now, and there's a footnote when I make reference in the first line to recommendation X. The footnote says, in the case of R 5.N, 12.N, and 15.N, they are follow-up recommendations, there should be an S there, of the original R 5 to 9, R 12 to 14, and R 15 to 16, respectively. Now, I won't claim this is simple, but I think it is accurate, and I hope people can make some sense out of it. I would welcome anyone else doing something better, but that's what I came up with. I open the floor to it. And I see no hands, and I hear no voices. Erica is typing. Let's wait to see what they say, but if anyone can speak, please do so. I see Catherine has joined us. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you very much, and apologies.
We do now have 6 people on the call, 6 team members. Can you please read it again, Alan? Erica says, yes, I will try to read it again. It makes reference to two algebraic unknowns as it is, and it starts off with recommendation X point N. Actually, it should say recommendation numbers of the form are X point N. Are recommendations that follow up on recommendation X of the first quiz review. Recommendations LE point N, SG point N, CN point N, and BY point N are recommendations related to the new work done by the present review team under its investigation related to law enforcement, safeguard registrant data, contractual compliance, and bylaw governing specific reviews, respectively. And there's a footnote saying that for recommendations 5, R5, R12, and R15, they are follow-up on the recommendations of the original 5 to 9, 12 to 14, and 15 to 16. This is all in the slide deck that Jean-Baptiste sent out a little while ago. Okay, we're going to assume that this is set in concrete at this point. So the changes are, it should be the beginning should, instead of saying recommendation X or RX point N, is recommendation numbers of the form RX point N, and at the end add respectively of this, at the end of sentence, add respectively. And Jackie's adding something. I think the footnote is clear and helpful. Okay. All right. So let's assume it's right. If anyone has any edits, it shows up in two places, once in the executive summary and once the first time we start talking about recommendations. And so if you have any further comments, please put the comments in the document. Otherwise, we'll assume it stands. Next page, Catherine is here. Perhaps we want to go back to the beginning and address Catherine's issues.
Yes, thank you, Alan. And we'll use that occasion to re-upload the slide deck to see if that's of the issue.
Okay.
All right, should I take it away?
We're just making sure the first time we looked at the slide deck, there were some pages that didn't render on Adobe Connect, and Jean-Baptiste is verifying that, okay, and I believe he has verified now. So it's up back to you. We're on slide 5 on recommendation 1, strategic priority.
All right.
Catherine, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, and apologies again for being so late. My meetings with my hierarchy, as we like to call it, get shifted around in between my note to say that I can only stay for 30 minutes and my note to say that I would be late. So luckily, I can stay for more than the first 30 minutes. Thank you for bearing with me, and apologies again. The first change you see here on the slide is a result of a comment that Alan made and that I support on the text that was already in place, where he pointed out that a sentence I had put in the implementation part actually fit much better in the analysis part, namely that while ICANN has tried to do its best to reflect the strategic priority given to RDS, the actual implementation of the priority that they did was focused more on compliance with existing WHOIS policy and on support for community processes, rather than on advanced planning. And so we put that, I moved that sentence up. So this is, it's shown here as new text, but it is text that is taken from farther below in that same chapter and has simply been moved up from the implementation part to the analysis part so that it now supports our recommendations rather than explaining how those should be implemented.
Thank you.
Are there any comments or questions on this move?
It's Alan. I'll only say what I said in writing there, that I thought this simple sentence was a rather astute analysis of what went wrong. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Then I guess we can move on to the next slide, please.
That's the one we've already talked about. Okay. A very busy slide.
All right, so there was, are you all on slide 7 with me?
I am.
Yes, excellent. So this is a change that was made in response to a comment from Dmitry about the fact that just looking at legislation may not be sufficient in having this forward-looking approach to who is and potential policy changes around the world that can have an impact on the RDS. So in the rationale to the recommendation, which was already quite, so the recommendation itself was already quite open and says legislative and policy development around the world. So I didn't see a need to actually change the recommendation itself, but rather I responded to this comment by adding one sentence to the rationale, which you will see in pink here towards the bottom, to highlight that it is also important to take into account relevant non-legislative developments such as soft policy measures or guidance provided by authorities on the implementation of relevant legislation. So you will note that such as denotes examples, so it's perfectly open. We have said in the rationale that other non-legislative developments should also be taken into account where relevant, and so hopefully that will provide enough guidance to ICANN in the implementation of this recommendation to keep its eyes open. In any case, I think the motivation at ICANN to have a more forward-looking approach in the future is quite high given recent events. So I've kept it short. I'd be grateful for your comments as to whether you think this meets Dmitry's comments in particular. Of course, Dmitry yourself, you might want to say whether this was what you were looking for. But, of course, questions or comments from anyone else are just as welcome.
I don't see any hands. Dmitry is typing. We'll wait for him to finish. Dmitry says it's even wider than he was looking for, so I think that says it meets the target.
Right. That's actually what I'm wondering, whether it's too wide.
No. How can it be too wide? We're supposed to be keeping attention to what's going to affect us.
Right.
And, you know, we're trying to predict right now what the sources of those things will be. You know, and it could well be court actions or something like that. That the courts decide that something is applicable. So I don't think it can be too wide. I think that's fine.
Okay, perfect. So if there's no other comments or questions on this, I will move on to the next one. So on slide 8, you can see here, first the change in pink is still the rationale change we just discussed, and then a little bit farther down, the text that is now crossed out in pink and highlighted in yellow. I see Dmitry has now agreed with this addition. Excellent. Thank you so much. So I guess that one, if nobody else is unhappy, that one we can close. Now the text deleted in pink, underlined in yellow, that's the sentence that at Alan's behest we moved up from the rationale to the analysis to support the actual analysis that's underpins our recommendation. So that's the one we already discussed. And then there were a number of smaller updates that I made to take account of the fact that Chris informed us that there was no longer a board working group on RDS.
Yeah. Jean-Baptiste, could go to 9, please.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was holding for everyone.
Okay, we're back.
Okay, excellent. So now you will see a number of smaller changes to basically take account of the fact that the RDS board working group no longer exists, and that instead of asking for its mandate to be clarified and its work to be made more transparent, we now have to have somewhat more neutral language asking for the mandate of any such board working group to be clear and comprehensive for such a group to exist and for its work to be transparent. So that's what I tried to change here in the implementation.
And I would recommend a very minor change of in the fourth to last line of implementation, make working group lowercase. Because whatever form their discussion group takes, it may it may not be a formal board working group in that in the context, you know, of the definition of a working group, but may be a caucus or a something or other. So just making it lowercase, it's a generic instead of the specific thing called a working group.
Right. I have absolutely no objections to that. I don't think anybody else will. I think that means we can move on to slide 10. Which actually has the recommendation that we're talking about, namely recommendation R1.3, which initially read the ICANN board should update the charter of its board working group. That has now been reformulated to include the fact that the board working group no longer exists, and now says the ICANN board, in drafting the charter of a board working group on RDS, should ensure the necessary transparency of the group's work. So here in the findings, I've adjusted the findings to the fact that the board working group no longer exists by referring to it as the previous board working group here in a couple of additional instances. And then I have just updated a bit of text also in the implementation to reflect the fact that the board working group no longer exists. And then here is another new sentence in pink that also responds to a specific comment from the review team that the board should conduct its work in transparency and with the full involvement of the community rather than acting alone, which was also part of the feedback that we received during the face-to-face meeting. So what you see here are changes to respond to two objectives. The first one, again, to update the text to the fact that the RDS board working group has been dissolved, and the second to reflect this need for the board to not just do its own thing, but rather to keep the community fully involved and apprised of its work. Are there any comments or questions?
Yeah, it's Alan. I have a couple. Again, working group should be lowercase. My recollection is that Chris said that groups like caucus groups or other things do not necessarily have charters. And I'm wondering if we want to just leave charter and let them come back and say it doesn't have a charter, but we understand what you're talking about, or do we want to be more specific? I'm happy to leave the charter there and let them comment that the implementation will be slightly different than in the form of a charter.
Right. I actually, thank you, Alan. I actually did think about that, and that was part of what we took issue with the previous board working group, that it seemed to exist by name, but there was nothing to hold it accountable to. So there was no explicit paper setting out what it was supposed to do, so it was impossible to judge whether it had done its work. And there also were absolutely no standards set for how that work would be conducted, which for an issue of this impact, of course, has a sort of negative impact on the transparency of the work, because there was no obligation to keep minutes or to even have a summary of meetings or any kind of record of what was happening.
Yeah, thank you. I think I think Chris acknowledged that, yes, they could do this going forward. I'm happy to leave the word charter, and if they come back and say, you know, it's going to take some other form, that's fine. And I'm going to have to go offline for a second. I'll be back as quickly as I can.
And I see Jean-Baptiste, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead. Sorry. Oh, and I don't know, I can't hear Jean-Baptiste, but if it's to read Carlton's comment into the...
Oh, yes, sorry, I was on mute. Yes, that was to read Carlton's comment, and I see that they are directed to Alan, so we may want to wait for him.
Sorry, I'm back.
Oh, perfect. Yes, Alan, I just wanted to read out Carlton's comments, which were directed to you, where he says, it is precisely why I think any reference to working group is a tad too specific. It could be a caucus or a commission or a staff group specifically chartered by the board, so saying board action should be enough. And that's it.
Yes, thank you, Carlton. I think that's addressed by using lowercase working group, because we're, you know, but again, if the board comes back and says, we are not going to do a working group, we're going to do a caucus or we're going to do a X, I don't think anyone's going to deem that to be not implemented. So just in keeping the language simple, now you're saying board action, and I'm not quite sure where you mean action, where that phrase is used, that you want us to say it's sufficient, that you think it's sufficient.
Well, I think also one of the ideas was that there needs that I would put to the front in order to argue for a more formalized structure is that we're trying to create accountability for the strategic priority given to who is, because that accountability is missing. We have a strategic plan where it's some lowercase priority in some area where it doesn't fit with 0.2 resources. I'm exaggerating for the sake of argument. And then there's nothing to actually tell us how this is lived as a strategic priority, especially now the group has been dissolved. So I would argue in favor of asking for a more formalized, I mean, we can just call it a working group, but for something that has a document describing what it is supposed to do, and then we go to the actual discussion with the ICANN board about how that could be
yeah.
implemented in practice. And if we just replace board working group by board action, I'm not sure whether that has the same ring to it, because I wouldn't be clear what the charter for any board action would mean.
Board
for something, but I think there should be a formalized something in place as a conclusion of our discussions thus far.
Thank you, Catherine. I tend to agree with you all, although I believe it should be lowercase working group. Board action is sounds like it's talking about a single one-time action as opposed to a board decision to do something on an ongoing basis. So I would tend to agree that what you have right now is sufficient for what the message we're trying to send. And if they want to use different words, they can certainly do that.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions on this, on these rewordings that actually reflect two objectives as I set out? So one's the fact that the group no longer exists, and secondly, to reflect the need for transparency and full community involvement. Oh, and I see that Carlton says, I disagree that board action is a one-time thing, but it's not important enough to object. So the working group in lowercase seems to be a compromise that most everyone can agree to. Which
certainly good enough for this pass. If we can refine it in the final editing, we will, but I think this is fine.
Okay. So that would close the strategic priority bit. where I note that the main change is to substitute working group all caps by working group lowercase, or rather all caps in the beginning, by working group lowercase, and that brings us to the end of strategic priority, and on to subgroup 3, law enforcement needs. And here my particular, so you see some edits that were thankfully provided by Jackie to make sure that we use the active voice and avoid run-on sentences, but the key part that we're looking at here is the clarification of what regular means and including the rationale. So the topics that I brought up at the face-to-face meeting as examples were the possibility to perform ex-ante impact assessments, which basically allow you to guesstimate the impact of a new policy while you're considering various options for that policy. And then secondly, the post-factum evaluation of such policies, which basically allows you to assess what the actual impact has been of a certain policy, which helps you consider whether there's a need to reform it or learn from it for future policy development. And so with that in mind, I've updated the rationale by adding one paragraph, which basically reads, in terms of defining what would constitute a regular basis, it would be useful at minimum to repeat the survey and or conduct studies as appropriate, at least ahead of every review team exercise. Consideration should also be given to running such survey and study exercises to A, provide an ex-ante impact assessment if new measures are considered, or B, evaluate new policies once they have been in place for a while. So you will note that I kept it still fairly open in terms of how often such studies or surveys have to be run, but set a sort of bottom limit of every 5 years when there is a new review team exercise happening, and have also suggested that we encourage ICANN to run these exercises also when needed for policy development, both ahead of the development of the policy to help assess its potential impacts, and then also once a policy has been put into place to evaluate whether it actually does what it should. And something that comes to mind is, for example, the safeguards for new GTLDs, which the Consumer Trust and Competition Review Team reviewed. So those are the kinds of policies that very much benefit from somebody looking at them, just like the RDS will no doubt do once it has been agreed. What do you guys think of this level of definition versus abstraction? Do we need to be more prescriptive? Is this sufficiently open? Does it meet what you thought of when you made this suggestion? And I see Alan has his hand raised. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I like this. I would make two comments or questions. The easy one is I believe at the bottom where it has A and B that it should be either an and instead of an or an and slash or. But I think it's reasonable to both conduct a impact assessment and then evaluate whether it really did what it's supposed to. So I would suggest and, but if there's reluctance to put and, then I would put and slash or. That's comment number one. And number two is, do we want to add some level of emphasis, and I'm not sure stylistically what the right way to do that is, to the at minimum? And I guess I'd ask Jackie, is there a way to do that that's not stylistically improper? If it was me, I would I put it in caps or bold or underline, but I'm not quite sure what. I think it's important to say we can accept once every 5 years, but really we need to pay more attention than that. And that's it for me.
This is Jackie Triver for the record. Alan, I'm sorry, I was multitasking with John Baptiste. Which portion of this highlighted section were you wanting to draw more attention to stylistically?
The word at minimum.
Sorry, you were muffled.
I'm suggesting that if there is a way, an easy way to emphasize the at minimum, i.e. caps, underline, italics, bold, whatever the appropriate stylistic way is, I would support that.
Yeah.
And the other comment was for Catherine, of to replace the or at the end of the fourth sentence with either and or.
This is Catherine, and that actually is the intention, so you're right, it's not clear enough, and I fully agree with you.
Okay.
So an and or would be helpful.
Choose which.
Maybe we should just drop the or.
Ah, okay. Since it's an A and B, dropping it altogether makes it an and. That's fine. I agree.
Well, I mean, dropping the or, replacing it with an and. Sorry.
Okay. Well, that's simpler. So let's make it really clear. So we'll place the word or at the end of the fourth line with and. And Jackie, if you can find a way of, if Catherine doesn't object, to emphasize at minimum.
I mean, I'm actually wondering whether there is a way, whether there is a need to ask for more regular surveys and studies, but there were also others on the team who rightfully raised the issue of resources.
Yeah.
And I think there was an action item ongoing to estimate the workload on the MSSI colleagues to conduct this exercise. So it would be helpful to inform the organization, the community, of the expenses of this. I mean, I always find surveys to be fairly low priced for the organization that runs them, because the work is done basically by those who respond, and then you do a bit of evaluation of the responses or analysis.
Yeah.
But studies, of course, is a different issue, are a different issue altogether, and can be quite pricey.
Yeah. The MSSI costs in this case, I don't think, apply going forward, because in this case, there was a lot of volunteer effort. In the future, it would be some other part of ICANN, not necessarily MSSI, and they would bear the full costs. So I'm not sure the MSSI costs are relevant in this discussion. But yes, there was pushback, and before each review team was the compromise. I'm just suggesting that if we can point out that ICANN org or the board should consider whether it's being done more often. And, you know, I suggested adding some emphasis, but if that's objectionable to people, then I'm not going to fight it.
No, I definitely support it.
Okay. Then we can move on at this point. Where are we next?
We are now on recommendation 4, compliance with the paragraph that you had added on the possible impacts of GDPR and
Local
laws.
Yeah, there was a section on the end of compliance on impact of GDPR. It was a to be completed, so I drafted something. And what I have here is, it is currently unclear to what extent contractual compliance will have access to RDS, who is data, information, nor what procedures it may have to follow to gain such access. Depending on the final GDPR implementation, the ability of contractual compliance to address issues that it did prior to GDPR may be affected. Okay, the ability may be affected, and or the amount of resources, parenthetically time and staff required, may increase, perhaps substantially. The sentence is perhaps not eloquently worded, but I think conveys the intent, and Jackie may find some ways to make the sentence read better. Does this convey the statement that we're trying to say, saying we don't really know what the impact of GDPR is, but it may be very substantial? You know, the implementations range from, based on their IP address and such, compliance may end up having the same access they had right before, obviously using a slightly different tool, or they may be in a position where they have to ask each registrar one by one for information and wait for it to come back. So we're talking about very, very different implementations, which will have significant impact. Catherine?
Yes, thank you, Alan. I think this is a key issue, and I fully agree with it being explained here, and I think it might even deserve a bit more text explaining exactly what you just set out, namely that the range of possible issues can range from having ICANN as part of the, I don't know how they would do it, whitelisted IP addresses, down to having to ask for permission to access every single record that they need for their investigation, and in particular when it comes to having to ask those those entities that they're supposed to also be ensuring the compliance of, I see some major issues with that. So I think it would benefit from, because here it's still phrased in a very abstract way, and it doesn't actually, to my mind, or at least as a non-native, naive reader, does not yet reflect the actual significant impact that might be associated with that. So maybe just illustrating it a bit more would be helpful. And also, if there is information available on what's happening now, since they already have implemented GDPR, it would be extremely helpful to cite that example. So did Jamie have anything to say about what they do now? Do they still have access?
No, right now they are asking each time.
Well, then I think we should say that. I think we should say, as of the moment, ICANN compliance has to ask the entities whose compliance it is ensuring for access to the records that it needs to make sure that compliance is happening. I mean, that's a.
So they're relying on the goodwill, essentially, or compliance of an organization in order to verify its compliance.
Yes.
All right.
Well, that's what's happening, right? I think we should explain that, and that brings to issue one more to mind one more issue that we need to include, which is which I think should be included, which I submit for your consideration. That is the issue of the DAR, a tool that is supposed to create transparency around compliance. By highlighting where abuse is happening without necessarily naming and shaming, but at least by making available statistics on issues. And apparently that tool, which is also provided by ICANN, also no longer has access to the WHOIS information. So maybe that is something we can put a sentence on here as well, if that is a good fit.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Thank you, Catherine. Susan noted that in the first line, the word with should be will. That's just a typo. How does this sound? If we add a paragraph prior to this talking about the current situation, in other words, saying what is happening right now and pointing out the paradox of relying on someone's goodwill to find out if indeed they're doing it properly. I'm not quite sure how to word that, but I'll try to come up with something. And then add at the end of the paragraph that's already on the screen the implication of if we still need to rely on that, then one brings into question whether we can really verify compliance. That sound reasonable? And I see Jean-Baptiste is documenting it. Hearing no negative comments, I'll take that as an action item.
Sorry, you said on at a sentence on how compliance can be verified?
On whether contractual compliance can verify compliance if they can't get the data. I mean, if you ask me for data that's invalid, that I know is invalid, I could send you something different. And there's no way that contractual compliance could verify that. All right.
Thank you.
Next page. And that was it. All right. To summarize, Jean-Baptiste, if before we go ahead, if I can summarize what was said before a number of people got on the call in terms of timing going forward, it's quite clear that at this point we are not going to make our January 31st deadline, but we're going to have to be very, very close to that, or as close as we possibly can. I've done a review of about half of the document, and we'll finish that before the end of today. In terms of accepting Jackie's changes that are largely editorial, in places where I think the intent may have changed, I'm adding comments, and I'll be finished that by the end of the day. I will be in an EPDP meeting for the rest of the week, so I think we need to take that four-day gap, and pretty much everyone else, and Stephanie is the exception because she'll be in that meeting also, but other than that, I believe everyone else needs to, at the very least, go over the sections that they led, and preferably the sections that they participated in, and go over it with a fine-tooth comb, looking for errors, inconsistencies, and more as important, duplications and replication. We've determined that for this report, we will do our best not to repeat the same things over and over again, but make sure that they're said, you know, clearly. And that's not something Jackie can do on her own. It really needs the content specialists to look at that. So I would ask everyone for the sections you either led or participated in by the end of Friday to review with some care those sections and either make suggested changes or comments as to what can be done to clean it up. And then Jackie and I will do a really thorough pass the week after that. And we'll have a meeting next Monday, and hopefully Jean-Baptiste will be able to call out, again, a good number of places where there have been changes that we need to discuss or whether there are questions have been raised. And Jean-Baptiste, thank you very much for extracting these random sections from within the document that needed our attention. I appreciate the effort you took.
You're welcome, Alan. And I just wanted to jump on what you have just said about the meeting next week. It was brought to my attention that some Revit members have a public holiday in the United States. So I just wanted to check whether that would be an issue or not for the plenary call next week.
I don't think we have an awful lot of U.S. people on our call, on our team. We have Susan. What holiday is it, by the way?
Martin Luther King Day, I believe.
Martin Luther King Day. Ah, okay. So the only people that are affected are Susan, Erica, if she happens to be in the U.S. Thomas is not joining our calls in general, so it's not relevant. So it only affects Susan. So, Susan, is this a major issue for you? Or?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
With having a meeting.
Then we're okay to go.
All right.
Carson, I know you're an American, but you don't tend to live there. If you celebrate Martin Luther King Day wherever you are, please say so. And Erica says she is in the U.S., but she's fine to go with it. Jackie, you're in the U.S. also. Sorry, I forgot about you. Is that an issue?
Oh, that's okay. I won't have a guest that day.
It's an ungodly
day, but I know
The call here is quite early for me, so I don't think it'll interrupt any of my of that. So I'm good to go.
Okay, thank you. All right, so Monday is not an issue. Back to you, Jean-Baptiste, and any other business, or if there is any other business.
That was the only thing I wanted to raise under AOB, so thank you.
All right, then I please earnestly request that everyone look at their parts. In the case of consumer trust, I owe Erica something, which I will do my best to get out by the end of the day. And I apologize to Erica for not having done that. Jean-Baptiste, your hand is up.
Sorry, that's an old hand, but
okay.
Would you like me to go through the action items and decisions reached?
Yes, please.
All right. So I'll start with the action items. Under the action items, so just as you just mentioned, reality members will have until the end of this week, except for Stephanie, to review their sections, look for errors and inconsistencies, and confirm that the section is consistent and tight, if not, come up with suggestions as to how it can be cleaned up. The different updates on recommendation 11, the recommendation numbering, and recommendation 1 strategic priority were okay by the members in presence today. They will be recirculated for to see whether there are any concerns. On recommendation 1.1 and 1.2, we just changed recommendation 1.2, which changed the wording of working group and removed the capital letters. And for subgroup 3, law enforcement needs, Jackie will emphasize the at minimum sentence in rationale, replace the or at the end of the fourth line with an and. And for the recommendation 4, compliance, Alan, you will add a paragraph on the current situation, pointing out the paradox of goodwill versus doing it properly, and add a sentence on whether contractual compliance can verify compliance if they don't look at the data. Under decisions reached, so there is an agreement from members in attendance with rationale for recommendation 1.1 and recommendation 1.2, and the plenary call is confirmed next week, and the updates from each subject matter expert will be presented.
Excellent. Any further comments from anyone? Then this meeting is called to an end. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.